national agencies to make sure that this is as thorough and competent and effective as possible. Can it be 100% foolproof? Well, nothing in life is 100%, but we're satisfied that the process is strong and robust.
The Conservatives say you have to rethink your plan to pull out of the U.S.-led air war. Is that being rethought?
The point that we have made for a long time about the mission against ISIL is that clearly ISIL is evil. It is a scourge on the earth. The world has come together in large measure to battle that. There are many tools and techniques by which you can combat this evil. We believe the highest and best use of Canadian resources is focused on the training mission, to ensure that local ground forces are better able to combat this
evil. We're going to put more special forces in.
Mr. Trudeau and the Defense Minister will announce the details of the transition plan over the next while, and that'll obviously be done in an orderly manner, recognizing our responsibilities and in a way that works well with our allies. But in order to be most effective in dealing with this awful problem for the long term, an investment in training of ground forces, local ground forces in the region, is likely to be more effective in the long term.
And does that mean that we keep our surveillance aircraft to help the allies as well? I mean, if we pull out the combat mission, but we have like our surveillance aircraft.
The details of the process will be laid out by the Minister of National Defense, but we will make sure it is done in an orderly and responsible way that respects our obligations to our allies.
Minister, thank you for coming in this morning. Appreciate
My pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up, as the world mourns for Paris, critical questions about safety and security closer to home. It was a night of chaos and carnage. 6 coordinated attacks. At a soccer stadium, a busy bar, a concert hall. Horrific violence that has triggered caution and alarm around the world. The nagging question, how could it happen in a country known for its tough and preemptive counterterrorism measures? Joining me in the studio, former Canadian ambassador to the United Nations, Paul Heinbecker. Steve Day is a former Special Forces commander and former RCMP Commissioner Giuliano Zaccardelli. So, Mr. Zaccardelli, you just came back a few years ago from 6 years in Paris where you were with Interpol. We saw in these attacks in Paris assault weapons, suicide vests and grenades, and coordinated attacks. How big of a failure is this of the French intelligence service, which I've always thought were really very good at this game?
Well, I mean, obviously, when you see this type of an attack, we can say it's an intelligence failure. But my experience and my deep knowledge of the French law enforcement and security services, they are one of the best in the world. I think what we really have to address is how serious an attack this was and how well coordinated and planned it was, how challenging it is to deal with thousands of people that could potentially be radicalized and become susceptible to this type of radical ideology. So in spite of the best French efforts, yes, this was a failure. But the French are extremely capable and have been doing this for a long time and actually are the example for many countries in the world on how to deal with these types of issues. So we are really talking about a different game at this point now when you see this type of successful terrorist attack in spite of the best efforts from one of the best law enforcement and security countries in the world.
Well, he's talking about a real change in the game, Steve. Here you have a situation where you have people with suicide vests. This is the first time we're seeing this in Europe. So there are munitions specialists. They may probably on the loose in Europe.
Right, and I would support the commissioner's point there. This was a very, very sophisticated attack. Clearly planned well in advance. We're talking 8 to 12 assailants. We're talking a support architecture that allows them to come into the country, get set, allow them to action their plan, and then as they go through that plan at multiple targets, almost simultaneously, highly sophisticated, extremely difficult, if not impossible, to prevent.
So, Mr. Heinberger, the Prime Minister, his first foray at the G20, we know he had on the sidelines a lengthy conversation with President Obama. He's been trying to stick to an economic message, but the leaders are focusing on this attack in Paris and how to respond to it. What's your advice to Mr. Trudeau?
Well, at the moment, this is his first summit. It's turning into a baptism of fire rather than a gentle introduction to international affairs. It was clear from the moment the attacks happened that terrorism had gone straight up to the top of the agenda. It was already on the agenda because the Turks had put the refugee issue and the situation in Syria on the agenda. And in another part of the forest, in Vienna, foreign ministers Kerry and Lavrov from Russia and others have come up with some kind of a peace plan, a very sketchy peace plan that hasn't figured out what is supposed to happen at the heart of it, which is whether President Assad stays in Syria or not. So I think the Prime Minister, I think for the entire summit, they will try to carry out their economic agenda, because that's what they largely came for. They won't allow themselves to be knocked off completely by a terrorist attack. But at the same time, they have to respond to that terrorist attack. And I expect that that's what we'll see coming out of this conference. At least the commitments to greater common purpose and common action.
Mr. Zaccardelli, you've spent your life in the security area. We're bringing in 25,000 Syrian refugees. The Prime Minister wants this done before the end of the year. We know that the ISIS wants to put jihadist fighters in with these migrants, with these refugees. Can we properly security screen 25,000 refugees in that period of time?
Well, I mean, historically, we have brought in lots of people from different areas of the world, and we've been able to successfully security screen them. The challenge we're going to have is guaranteeing that we will be able to verify that every single person is a legitimate refugee. I don't think you can guarantee that, but I think you have to do the best you can. The Canadian officials from different agencies are very capable. They have a lot of experience, and they will do the best they can to make sure that the right people come here.
Mr. Day, we've seen a Russian airliner brought down by ISIS. We've seen attacks in Iraq, in Beirut. In fact, there was today in Turkey, somebody blew themselves up in a border area. Has the world underestimated the reach of ISIS that we thought was just sort of located in Syria and Iraq?
No, I don't think we've underestimated that reach. I think what we may be losing sight of in the broader context is terrorist tactics are tactics of the weak, if you will. And terrorism writ large is not an existential threat to our Western democracy, provided we don't overreact as Western democracies. So yes, are these threats and hazards out there? They're out there every day. How we as Western liberal democracies deal with them is actually what the important piece is. So, yes, are we going to continue to see this? I believe these are the security challenges of our times. I believe these challenges will continue.